You turn me down a little bit. I don't like hearing myself that loud. John MacArthur made this statement, and the quote begins, "Only those who understand the Bible can know the truth about salvation from sin and eternal damnation in hell. Only those who obey biblical truth can live fulfilled, obedient, blessed, effective, joyful lives." To understand scriptures, to understand everything from God's perspective, which is the only true view. All of God's purposes for humanity and all of his purposes in time and eternity can be known only to those who understand the Bible. Therefore, the greatest service that can ever be rendered to anyone is to explain to them the meaning of Scripture. This very great service that he is describing has been rendered to me this morning. This is a very serious matter and a great privilege. It always is when someone comes up to teach the Scripture. Mike, of course, he had that privilege last week when we had Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we were here together. And Mike preached on Luke 24 up until the resurrection. And this week we're looking again at Luke 24, but we'll be focusing solely on the road to Emmaus in verses 13-25. It'll be important to notice that Jesus is explaining to his disciples the meaning of the scriptures. And so as we move on from Resurrection Sunday, it's going to be important, and it's going to be our goal to continue to remember the value of Christ, his word, and witnessing. Whenever we move on from Resurrection Sunday, these are the things we don't move on from. We never do. So I'm going to be reading Luke 24, going to be starting in verse 13 here. Give you some time to flip there if you're not there already. "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here, there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Why don't we pray? Father, this is your word, and it's living and active. God, we know that you have spoken to us just now. And Lord, we know that you're here with us, all of us, your people. We thank you that whenever we hear your words, that we can be encouraged, we can be reminded that you are always with us. God, you calm our troubled souls. You help us wherever we are to understand better and to obey your word. And so, Lord, we just want to be surrendered to your will. We want to be here worshiping you. So, Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher, you're our counselor, and you guide us to understand, you guide us to obey. You guide us to become better worshipers of you. And that's what we want to do this morning. That's what we want to do always. So God, help us by your grace to just continue to always rely upon you and always say and do. And this morning we just give you praise. In Christ's name, amen. So point number one here, if you're following along with me on your insert for your bulletin, point number one, the need for understanding. And we're looking at verses 13 to 24 here in this section. Now, the disciples were devastated and confused. They were not understanding why things had happened in the way they did. They weren't really processing and thinking everything. They weren't able to. They weren't able to arrive at an understanding as to why things had happened. They lacked understanding. And what they weren't understanding was the meaning of the Bible. And this took place late on Sunday. This whole walk, if you remember, on Sunday, Jesus rose again. And, they had seen, the women had seen Jesus' risen body on Sunday. It was on Sunday that that happened. And they were the ones who had seen Jesus. And they had brought this news to the disciples who had seen the empty tomb but did not see Jesus. And after all this, they're walking along and just describing everything that had happened. Now, these two were not apostles. One of them is named Cleopas. The other one is not named. We don't know exactly who that may be. They were going home to Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is 7 miles from Jerusalem. We don't know exactly either where, if I'm correct, we don't know exactly where Emmaus is. Now, their idea of the Messiah was one who would overthrow the Romans and bring about the national redemption of Israel. Death and resurrection didn't fit in with this. They hadn't really taken in what Jesus had taught them about these things. Jesus tells them about these things. He told them about them a number of times. In Luke's gospel, in verse chapter 19, he did this again, where he talked about his death. And the disciples, it says, did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. When the women told the disciples that Jesus rose again, they didn't believe. They thought it was nonsense. Have you ever had an expectation from God, if I may ask, yet circumstances turned out to be different? That's how it was for the disciples, for the apostles here. And in verse 14, they were talking about the events that had happened. What would this have included? It would have included Jesus' triumphal entry. It would have included the cleansing of the temple. It would have included his teaching while at the temple, along with his arrest and execution. So a lot had happened. A lot had happened in 1 week. And imagine just trying to process all this. Put yourself in the disciples' place and try to process all that had happened during this week. And so we move on here. Letter B, the stranger, Jesus, joined them. That's in verse 15. It says Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. In verse 16 it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. They saw him as a stranger. So I've titled this little section here, the stranger, Jesus, joined them. It wouldn't have been uncommon for people who were strangers to join with another group on the road. Most people traveled on foot, and there were many travelers on the road. And remember, this was Holy Week, so there would have been many people traveling up to Jerusalem. And there were people who would walk and talk as well on the road. So try to picture this in your mind. As we read the scriptures, it's good for us to have the picture in our minds as it's described to us. Evening was setting in, and Jesus was in resurrected and glorified form, but he seemed like just an ordinary stranger. And when we read this, when I was reading it and studying it, that was one of my questions. Why did Jesus choose to reveal himself in this way? And the reason why was because Jesus was modeling the principle that the power lies in the explanation of biblical truth and not in the person doing the explaining. Jesus was showing them the power of Scripture. And it really is encouraging, isn't it? When you think of Jesus, here are the disciples walking along just in their sadness, in their devastation, just talking about things, trying to make sense of it all, and not really arriving to a solid conclusion. And then Jesus steps in. He steps in as a stranger to them. Why is that so comforting? Well, the disciples, even though they didn't understand why things had happened the way they did, God was in control. And Jesus knew where they were. He was here for them and was going to explain the scriptures. Do you lack understanding? Are you heartsick? Jesus is always with his people and wants us to look into the scriptures for understanding. And so let us see the disciples' description of Jesus. We have to think about what they were saying. And this is in verse 19 as it begins their description, because we read about this. Jesus, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And then Cleopas, he asks them, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?
And of course, Jesus, he's saying what things, but of course he knows what things had happened. He knows he's God, he knows everything. But Jesus is very good at asking good questions to draw out their hearts. So this is what we're going to read here. This is what we're going to talk about, is the disciples, what was their understanding of Jesus and what and of the events that had happened. And we read in verse 19, Jesus asks them what things about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, he was a prophet. So it begins. A prophet, well, Jesus was more than a prophet, right? So they understood Jesus to be a prophet, and they would have had Deuteronomy 18:18, and that says here, I will raise up, this is God speaking to Moses, by the way, God is saying, I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. So, Jesus is powerful in word and deed, they go on to say. And what did they mean by that? They meant his miracles. And one of the things that's very common when we read about what people had to say about Jesus' teaching, he spoke like no man had spoken before. If you remember the temple guards in John chapter 7, 46, whom the religious leaders had sent to have Jesus arrested while he was teaching in their synagogue, they came back and told them, no man has ever spoken the way this man does. So, we read on, in the sight of God. This is laid out for us nicely in Matthew 17, verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So this is the transfiguration. And you could only imagine, I think, just the way Jesus is described there in the transfiguration. It says in one of the accounts that his face shone brighter than the sun. And this is what the disciples, what the apostles had seen on the mountain. They had beheld his glory. If you ever happen to catch a glance of the sun, what happens? You have to kind of jerk away because, you know, if you look at it for too long, you're going to become blinded. Jesus' face was shining brighter than the sun. And Jesus, again, he was admired by all the people. People had seen his miracles. John 7:12, the people had praised God for his miracles. Yet, in shocking contrast to this, the chief priests and the rulers, who were the religious elite, had put Jesus to death. They had put him to death, and this is what was shocking to the disciples. This is what was so surprising. They knew from the scriptures, yet they knew from the scriptures that in order to redeem something, it would require the payment of a price. Even though it was so shocking to them, this is something that they should have known. It should have been fresh in their minds from the Passover celebration, which had just been completed. You would have thought that because the lamb is sacrificed for sins. The Passover lamb that people would have. And still, despite all that, they did not believe the women when they had said Jesus had risen. Yet they found that the tomb was empty, as the women had said. even though the women were not able to prove Jesus' resurrection, if they were proven to be telling the truth about the empty tomb, then shouldn't the disciples should have disbelieved them that they were telling the truth. And so you can see the nature of their unbelief here, that Jesus is kind of drawing out from their hearts. Jesus knew that they needed understanding as to what had happened, and so he begins to make his reply. We move on here in verse two, in number two, the source of understanding. Now we're going to read verses 25 to 27 here. This is Jesus' response. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Okay, so Jesus rebuked them for being foolish and slow to believe what? He says, all that the prophets have spoken. This was the Old Testament scriptures and what they have to say about the Messiah, what they have to say about Jesus. Now, besides the disciples, it wasn't just them, the Jewish people were looking for Israel's redemption from their oppressors, from the Romans at the time. Many people had hoped for this, yet no one had an excuse for misunderstanding the scriptures, because the scriptures are clear. The Old Testament is very clear. Jesus often rebuked his opponents, the Pharisees, who would try to trap him in his words, for example, or the Sadducees. He would often point out their faulty understanding of the scriptures. He would often say, "Have you not read?" And we read in Matthew 22:29, the Sadducees here, they have come to Jesus and they're trying to trap him in his words over a, if you remember, the Sadducees, they do not believe in the resurrection. So that was kind of the context of how they were trying to trap him in his words. But Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Scripture is clear. Scripture is God's word, and it always points to Jesus. And so we look to letter B here now. Scripture also speaks about the Messiah's suffering. Jesus explained to his disciples the things concerning himself and all the scriptures here in this scripture. God had in mind the suffering of Jesus from the beginning. You know, from before the beginning of time, God had this all figured out. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So we read in Genesis 3:15, the Lord God is speaking to the serpent, who was Satan, about the future Messiah, when he would come to earth, about the future when he would come. And it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." You know, the enmity here, between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. So we have the offspring of the woman, who is Eve. This is, this represents humanity here. And the offspring of Satan, this is, these are those who are the child of the devil. And But from the offspring of the woman would come the Messiah. From the offspring of the woman would come Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. And so we can understand Jesus is all over Scripture. We don't have time to go over everything in the Old Testament. If we would, we would probably be here for years. But anyway. But one of the things that really, I think, sticks out in the Old Testament is the sacrificial system. The sacrificial system being about sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And we read in Hebrews 10, verses 1 and 2, the description of this. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make purpose those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. So, the law is a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it could never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. In other words, the sacrifices, they were made endlessly year after year, but they were there to point to Jesus. They're always there to point to him. They would have to stop being offered at some point. So this is what points to Jesus in the Scriptures. This is what points to him. And we read in point number 3 here, the response to understanding. So Jesus had described the Scriptures to them. And now we read on in verse 28 how Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. Now, what were the disciples' response to this? This is important because they had just gotten described to them the truth of Scripture by this stranger. And why would he kind of just sort of walk on like this? Well, we can see that it's the response of the disciples. And it says that they urged him strongly to stay with them since it was almost evening. Well, Jesus did this to draw out their hearts and the effect that the Scriptures had on it. The Greek verb for they urged him strongly, it means it literally means to use force. They did not want the teaching to end. And so Jesus spoke to them, and from that, the desire of their hearts was a desire for more teaching, a desire for more of the truth, a desire for more understanding. So we read on, verse 30 to 32. It was normal for the host to break bread and to initiate the meal, not the guests. Were they so caught up in Christ's teaching that they had forgot all about eating? Could be. No one recognized the resurrected Jesus unless he revealed himself to them. That's what's important to know. Perhaps the familiarity of this, though, was what Jesus used to open their eyes. And instead of marveling at his disappearance, because he broke the bread, began to give it to them, that's when their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And it says that he disappeared from their sight. So, you also understand that they weren't necessarily either marveling about his disappearance. They weren't really, what is it that they say to each other? They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This is the believer's deepest longing being fulfilled, which is an understanding of the scriptures and results in great joy. And we read that in Psalm 119, verse 169. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Now let me ask you, has this been the desire of your heart? Are you joyful? Are you joyful for more of what God has to reveal to you in his word? And in order to have that joy, we have to be taking in the scriptures. We have to be taking in what they say to us. So we have to stay reading our Bibles. We have to, I think a lot of us know that. But I think a lot of us also may know that it is easy to get out of it. It's easy to lose that habit if we're not very careful of Bible reading. So we read our Bibles. We constantly intake the scriptures to get an overall picture of it. And then we have Bible study. That's what's going to help us learn what does the scripture mean here. And that's a lot of what was going on here. That was what Jesus was doing for these disciples, was describing the details of the scriptures. And all of this has to do with a seeking of the Lord, of a hunger and a thirst to know him better. And so what a joy it is to understand that we have this before us. We have access to the scriptures. We're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's always here for us, always ready to help us, always ready to lead us. And so this is something that we always need. Now, it's a really good analogy, I think. Perhaps if some of you have heard me before say it, you're a little bit familiar with it, but nevertheless, I think it's good to still say and to hear, is this analogy of hunger. Physically, it's like we eat food and we're full, we don't want it anymore. Spiritually, though, whenever we start to hear God's word, the more and more we get, the more and more hungry we become for it. The more and more we desire it. And what happens when we stay away from it for a little while? We begin to lose that hunger. We begin to lose that desire. So we have to continually seek God in his word. We have to know what it means as we do so. And this is going to produce an immense hunger for the scriptures. And that is going to lead to a joyful witness. In their joy, we read on, they got up, verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. The disciples immediately went 7 miles into Jerusalem during the night to tell the news to the other disciples. This was the knowledge that they alone possessed, that Jesus' suffering and resurrection were predicted in the Old Testament, which God had brought to fulfillment.
this was their joy, that they had this understanding. They had this good news of the gospel, and they wanted to bring it to the other disciples who were also discouraged, who were also dejected. And so we have this sort of joy that we have and that we can pass on to other people. So we read about this again in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we understand from this that Jesus gives us teaching, but he also wants us to pass it on. He wants us to teach them, these disciples, these new disciples, to obey everything I've commanded you. So we can understand, I think, that as we learn and as we grow in the Lord, this is what's going to impact and strengthen us as witnesses. But if we get out of that, if we get out of reading and searching the scriptures, that's going to have a negative effect on our witness. It's going to have a negative effect, and which will diminish in our joy, will diminish in our worship, and that's going to lead to us being weak and kind of dejected in our, which will distract us from being a witness. But where do we go then? Where do we go? We go back to Jesus. Think about it. The disciples were just walking along, and they didn't have a good understanding of the scriptures. What did Jesus do? He was there. They didn't recognize him, but he was there. And so I think today we can look at that. We can understand that wherever we are, Jesus is right here with us as his people and gives us grace and wisdom from the scriptures. He gives us all that we need so that we may serve and obey him. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. We always have this joy. And as our understanding of scripture grows, so will our joy of telling others about Jesus. Even if we seem like we're few, even if we seem like we're few as God's people, even if our circumstances aren't quite what we'd like them to be, even as a body of believers, even if we're just a few people here, we have joy from the scriptures. And this is what is going to be our source and our strength now and for all of eternity. Where does all this lead us? Will you spend time in Scripture to grow in your knowledge of Christ and have greater joy for telling others about him?
All you poor, weak, and malnourished, you don't need money for bread. only bring your hunger to Jesus. He will give you the feast of himself. All who thirst, come to the table. Drink the wine, buy without debt. Just receive Jesus, his offering. He will give you the drink of himself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Give thanks and sing of his endless love. Remember Jesus until he comes again. Remember him.
Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we come to you not as people who are perfect, as people who are complete, but we come to you as people who are saved by you and your grace. We're thankful that we can come to you as we are in that way. And Lord, we just want to continue to seek you and know you and rely upon the grace you have for us. God, we know that it's always so sufficient wherever we are. Whatever our seasons are, Lord, we know that you're with us and you want to use them to make us more like you, and you want us to become better witnesses for you wherever we are. So we just thank you for your grace that empowers us and helps us. Encourage your people. Strengthen those who are struggling with whatever it may be. Lord, we know that you already know. We know that you give us the victory. You give us all that we need. So, Father, we just come to you and are so grateful. And we'll always want to remember you, our Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week, guys.